Lord our God, we ask that the word be preached today with all boldness. We pray that your ministers will proclaim the word with the sincere conviction that it's true and with heartfelt belief. We ask that the word be received as divine truth. And Lord, we pray that you'll make this word not only increase our knowledge, but increase our yearning for closeness to Jesus Christ, His salvation, and His sanctification. All to your glory, our great God, we pray. Amen. We're reading in the New Testament this morning from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. My text this morning is in verses 3 through 5, but I'm reading John 1, verses 1 through 18. So let us give our attention to God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." And thus we end the reading of God's holy word. The Apostle John begins his gospel by writing about the Word. And as we discussed last week, and as we know from our previous knowledge of this gospel, the Word is Jesus Christ, God's Son. The Word is eternal. We know, we've already been told. The Word is God, that is, He is divine, in addition to being a human being. He is God and man. One person with two natures. He represents God to us and us to God. But now we learn more about Christ the Word as we look into verses 3 through 5 this morning. And especially we learn about the Word in creation. And we come to some serious questions when we come to the subject of the creation. How did this world come into being? Was it by chance? Was it by accident? Was there any design to it? How did it happen? These are questions that human beings ask. So today we are going to find out about some of this as we study the Word and creation under these three divisions as outlined in your bulletin on the bottom of the right-hand page. First, through Christ the Word, all things were created. Secondly, there is life for us in Christ the Word. And thirdly, Christ the Word gives light to human beings. So first of all, through Christ the Word, all things in the universe were made. Verse 3, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. The book of Genesis starts out in a similar way that the Gospel of John does. The book of Genesis starts out and says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on to say, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That's Genesis 1, 1 and 2. The Father, indicated by the word God in Genesis, was working in creation. Of course, we know that. The Spirit was working in creation. We see from Genesis 1, 2, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And here in John 1, 3, we find that the Son, the Word, Christ, was working in creation as well. So all three persons of the Trinity were working in the creation of this universe. We also find teaching about this in 1 Corinthians 8:6, which is a good parallel. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. All things are through Christ, and we live through Him. 1 Corinthians 8:6. We also find more about creation in Hebrews 1:2. Hebrews 1:2 says, God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Hebrews 1, verse 2. Christ was God's agent in creation. The Father and the Spirit were active in creation, and so was the Son. John 5:19 speaks about the way the Father and the Son work together. John 5:19 says, and Jesus is speaking, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. John 5:19. So Jesus in His ministry was doing the works of the Father, what the Father did. And it goes all the way back to creation as well. He was doing what the Father did in creation too. So we see there was a beginning to this universe. There was, and this is hard to word, but I'm going to use this wording as best I can in human language. There was a time when the universe did not exist. Matter was created. There was a time when there was no matter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as we've seen in the Gospel of John, Christ the Son was active in this as well. So this earth is not eternal, that we know. Neither is the universe. Neither is matter. Neither are things. They were created, and they were created at a time when there was nothing. We need to remember that. The universe is not eternal. Also, the universe did not come into being by natural causes or by accidental causes. The universe came into being by the plan of God and the work of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible is very clear on this. Regardless of what science, so-called science, tells us, and I'm no scientist, I admit, regardless of what so-called experts say in many fields, you know that the studies of certain experts have been found to be false years after they made the studies. The Holy Scripture is firm in this, that the universe came into being by God, the Holy Trinity, and purposefully. That is very clear to us, as John tells us here. And that includes human beings. We human beings owe our existence to Christ, the Word. Adam and Eve were given life by Him, and so were we. I know we were born of parents, we were born of father and mother, but had it not been for Christ, that never would have happened. So we belong to Him and we are responsible to Him. And we must live our lives for Him and give Him thanks that we have life. Verse 3 goes on to say, John 1, verse 3, without Him nothing was made that was made. Not a single thing came into being without Christ, the Son of God. Not a single thing. It was through Him that everything was made that was made. Now then, secondly, there is life for us in Christ the Word. Verse 4 says, in Him was life. In Christ the Word was life. Now, life seems to be something that we don't think about very often. We take it for granted. We've had it for a certain number of years. And so, after you've had it for a while, you begin to not think about it. But this is where it came from. It came from Christ, the Son of God. In Him was life. In the eternal councils of the Trinity, it was decided that Christ would be the fountain, the source of life. And as we have just seen, Christ the Word created physical life. We have life in our bodies. We have life in our brains, our minds. This physical life came from Him, and He sustains it. He keeps it going. That's another thing we take for granted. You live for a certain number of years, and you take for granted you're going to wake up tomorrow. One day, that's not going to happen. You see? He sustains it as well. Christ the Son sustains our lives every day we've lived. So you've lived 365 days, except for leap years, 366, for a certain number of years. Think of how many days you've lived. And every day you've been sustained by Christ. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, who, Christ, being the brightness of His glory, the Father's glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Hebrews 1 3. Christ upholding all things by the word of His power. He keeps us living. He not only gives us life, but He keeps us alive. It's not just that you eat your food, get your rest, do your exercise, take your vitamins and stay living and keep on living. It's that Christ actually sustains you. And we human beings take this for granted until what? We take life for granted until we start seeing those people in white coats in our room when we go to this building that has a lot of rooms in it and a lot of people in white coats walking around with a lot of machinery who work on our bodies. Then we begin to think about how life is sustained. Then we take it seriously. Then it's brought to our mind very closely that our life could be snuffed out in a moment and that somehow it is sustained. And it is sustained by Christ. Now, in this day of entitlement, when people think they're entitled to all these different things, we also think that we are entitled to life. But I'm telling you, life is a gift from Christ, the Son of God. And what a wonderful gift it is. Difficult sometimes. It's difficult all the way through, as a matter of fact. But it's a wonderful gift. And so, there is life in Christ. But it isn't only physical life, it is also spiritual life in Christ, the Word. Not everyone has this spiritual life, but all who have spiritual life were granted it by Christ, the Word of God. We need spiritual life because by nature we are spiritually dead. The reason why many people don't hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ, the reason why many people don't think the church is important and the message of the church is important is because they do not realize that they are naturally, spiritually dead. But Scripture is plain on this. Very plain. Let me read to you Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, which speaks of our death. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you He made alive, you who are Christians now, He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. That's what we all are as we come into this world. We are living by the lusts of our flesh and the desires of our minds. We are selfish. We are sinful. We are doing things to please ourselves, and that's the story of our lives. But Christ brings spiritual life to His people. We who are now Christians were once dead in our sins. I realized that when I was a teenager. About 14 years I lived and didn't acknowledge that I was a sinner. Did I just become a sinner when I was age 14? No. I had been a sinner from the womb. I had always been one. But I didn't acknowledge it until I was a teenager. And the only reason I did then was because the Lord opened my eyes to see it. I was spiritually dead. And that's the reason we don't see it, because we're spiritually dead. That's why Scripture makes a big thing of being born again. The idea which the world laughs at today. If someone asks you, you're not one of those born again Christians, are you? You know what that means. I don't want to be near you. You know what that means. You're not one of those born-again Christians, are you? And if we would say something like that, well, all Christians are born again, they'd go to the nut house, you know? That'd just drive them crazy. They wouldn't have any idea what we were talking about, would they? We must be born again because we're spiritually dead. We have to have a birth. And only God can give it. Christ can give it. There is life in Jesus Christ. We were once dead in our sins, and had we remained in that state, had I remained in that state when I was a teenager and on through the years, I wouldn't be in this pulpit today for sure. I wouldn't be in a church somewhere today. I don't know what I would be doing. I might be dead. But I do know what would happen at the end if Christ had not changed me. And you know too. We would wind up in hell, being punished forever. But there's life in Christ. In Him was life, John 1:4 says. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. John 10, verse 10. Abundant life. And so everlasting life, eternal life, spiritual life that Jesus Christ gives, many people think of in terms of its length. When you die, you continue to live. You never go to hell. You continue to live through all eternity and you're with God in all eternity, which is all good. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But that's not all. It is not only characterized by length. It is also characterized by quality. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. It is an abundant life. It is a life, a spiritual life, of a higher quality than a pagan non-believer has. In Him was life. Abundant life. And so the believer has joy, he has peace, she has hope, assurance. There are promises made to the child of God that are not made to the pagan, to the heathen. Most of all, there is the presence of Christ in our lives with us in our trials and temptations all the way through this life and into heaven. And today, there are so many people who are miserable that everyone here knows. We have friends, family members, and co-workers who do not know this real spiritual eternal life in Jesus Christ. They only know the things of this world. They only know the physical, tangible things. That's all. That's all their lives consist in. They're spiritually dead. They're dead people walking. But in Christ is life. Thirdly, Christ the Word gives light to human beings. At the end of verse 4, and the light was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The life was the light of men. Christ gives light to human beings. There is natural light, as you know. In verse 9, we read, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. There is a light that human beings see when they look at creation. And they say, some people say, this must be the handiwork of God. There is this light that comes to every person who has a sense of being created in the image of God. And that image is there. It's tainted by sin. But that image is there on every human being, whether he recognizes it or not. So there is that light that every person knows. And most human beings do what with this light? Most human beings suppress it. Most human beings suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's what we are prone to do. We are prone to rebel against the truth God gives us, Christ gives us. But there is also spiritual light that goes beyond that, spiritual illumination. The light, the life was the light of men, I should say. The life was the light of men. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. We need this light because we're in spiritual darkness. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Ephesians 5:8. When a person becomes a Christian, when a person is born again, he goes from darkness to light. Or as Peter tells it in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. We were in darkness. We were in moral darkness, spiritual darkness, wickedness, sin, rebellion, evil. We were there. But Christ is the light of men. And notice how verse 5 goes on and says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There is sun exposure. As you see outside, it's a beautiful day today. The weather has turned cooler. It feels like October. But the sunshine is beautiful today. There's sun exposure. Now, I don't think anybody's going to get sunburned today. But if it were July and it were sunny, through sun exposure, you could get sunburn. On the other hand, the sun's light is necessary for us to live. And we need it. Just not too much. But there is another sun exposure, and it's S-O-N exposure. I am the light of the world, Jesus says. And when the S-O-N sun is exposed to us, something else happens. People are changed. And so Christ shines. Ministers preach the word. Christians bear witness to Christ and the world. Missionaries go all over the world. Christ shines as the word goes forth. And what happens? The darkness did not comprehend it. The sinfulness of human beings is so great. We do not comprehend it. We do not understand it. We do not grasp it. We don't believe it. We naturally reject it. Until the Lord enables us to see. So our task is to keep preaching it, keep teaching it, keep giving the gospel to the lost world. And that we will do as God enables us and gives us strength. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Christ the Word is the Creator. He gave us life, and we owe it to Him to live for Him and not for ourselves. He is the light. We wouldn't have knowledge of sin and its consequences and knowledge of salvation without Christ. That's a supernatural thing that He allowed us to see by His grace. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Thus says the Lord. Let us pray.